AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on a big night of European action. An impressive win for Celtic at Feyenoord in Martin O'Neill's final European game in charge. He expects Sunday at Hibs to be his farewell. Rangers finally get a Europa League point and move off the foot of the table, but perhaps a missed opportunity against 10 men. A poor night for Aberdeen, drawing with Noah, and now on to league action where Motherwell v Hearts might just be the pick of the bunch. I'm Gordon Duncan, and join me tonight, you have Ross McCormick and Scott Allen.
Yes, Gordon, mixed bag for the Scottish clubs last night, wasn't it? Good to see Rangers finally get a point. Aberdeen probably a little bit disappointed they didn't get 3 points against Noah, but what a performance from Celtic. No one seen that coming, did they?
Yeah, I think for me the performance of Celtic was really good to see. I think Martin O'Neill, 5 wins out of 6 now. Tough game awaits at Easter Road on Sunday. He'll want to leave Celtic in the best possible position for the incoming manager coming in. But the performance of the week for me was Motherwell on Tuesday night, Gordon. I think 796 odd passes, but some of the football on show was fantastic. So that game against Hearts tomorrow afternoon is going to be an absolute belter.
I think you find it was 797. You're one off, but that's okay. I'll let you away with it. 0141-951-1025. That's the number you need. Pretty easy tonight, isn't it? Let's look back first and foremost before we go to the weekend. How would you sum up last night? Celtic fans, Ross McCormick, I think, probably speaking for lots of you saying maybe didn't quite expect that result and performance. A nice surprise for you. How impressed were you? What impressed you? Is this going to make it even harder to say goodbye to Martin O'Neill if this indeed is his final game in charge this weekend before Wilfred Nancy arrives? Yang coming in and playing a good part, and Luke McCowan playing out of position, and it's obviously a bit of a threadbare squad compared to what you're used to, and then you go away and get a very rare away win in Europe, which keeps you right in the hunt for progression from the Europa League. So give us all your thoughts after that in Rotterdam. What about you Rangers fans then? It feels like you're just kind of coming to terms with being where you are, and it's not much that Danny Rule can do about it. He's stuck with a squad that many of you tell us is not good enough, or certainly is underperforming. It was a point, and therefore it was better than what you've had previously in Europe, but the performance level, some of the individuals maybe, against 10 men at home, are you still feeling left disappointed by it? Or have you made your peace with just kind of trudging on, getting rid of Europe, and trying to focus on that winning run that you've built up in the Premiership? Do let us know, 0141-951-1025. Any Aberdeen fans want to share your thoughts? That feels like a poor result. I know we are not a European superpower, but Armenian opposition, could we be doing better? Particularly at Pittodrie. And then on to the weekend. The league table will tell you that Hearts are the best team in the country so far this season. Scott Allen tells you that Motherwell are the best footballing team in the country. So it should be a good weekend. And of course, the Thursday night teams all catching up on Sunday. So loads to get through. Give us a call on 0141-951-1025. Before we go any further though, Scott Allen, Ross McCormick, we've got something to try and sort out here. A bit of a predicament for you. Bad news, call it what you want. One of you needs to be Hugh Keevans for tonight. So I don't know if you've ever thought about that, if that's a career high or a career low, depending on what way you spin it.
It's definitely a high for me. Some of my statements haven't been great either.
You're in his seat, for what it's worth.
Yeah, I probably look as old as him as
well.
It
could be you. You're older than him.
Elder statesman.
It might need to be you.
I'll take it, yeah.
Honestly,
I'll take it.
See, when you were getting those multi-million pound moves to the English Premier League, did you ever think somebody would be calling you Hugh Keevans in here on a Friday night?
I certainly didn't, no.
Honestly.
But it's amazing what life throws up,
there
isn't
you
it?
Go. We're glad to have you. Would you know what we could do? Because he's not here to defend himself. We could just start a rumour that he's obviously this never happens. I think I nearly swore there. He's what's the phrase I'm looking for that's more suitable for this family show? He's wimped out That's what we'll say. He's wimped out of the show because he got his Celtic prediction so bad. That's what we could start, couldn't he? He's not here to defend himself.
I know. And Yang's had a fantastic performance.
So we could start a vicious rumour that finally he's ducked it, he's bottled it, he's decided against all the criticism. I think he actually is at the boxing, and this has been in the diary for ages, but we don't have to worry about that. Minor detail.
I couldn't imagine him at the boxing.
Like, he's fighting. He's in there, he's in the ring. I'm serious.
Come on.
He's in the ring.
No, he's not.
Strawweight. He is. Nah, he's the chairman of the St Andrews Sporting Club or something, isn't he? And every now and then they do these black tie
events. Even in that environment,
events.
I just couldn't picture him.
He's a big,
interesting. Big shadow boxing at the side.
Yeah. With
a glass of red.
Anyway, 01419511025. What are you thinking tonight? A mixed bag last night, clearly. Which bit of the mixed bag are you interested in? And of course, we've got a weekend to preview as well, if you fancy that. Loads to get through. And of course, you've got the kind of bigger picture, certainly with regards to Celtic, about Martin O'Neill. He's certainly saying it was his last European game. He stopped short of saying definitely today, but he's saying enough to suggest that it will be his final game overall this weekend at Hibs, which should be a cracker. So what are you making of that situation as well? The individual games, performances last night, on to the weekend. You can really take your pick. Justin is a Rangers fan. What's in your mind from last night, Justin?
Oh, pretty much the same as I've spoke to you guys about for the last couple of weeks, to be honest with you, Gordon. But I'd be keen to see what you saw after last night. For me, the performance was kind of gritty. We kind of fought for things, but again, I'm still struggling to understand why we're persevering with Deja at the back. I genuinely can't see what either Danny Roll or anybody sees in that guy as a player. He causes carnage every time in the defence. In relation to that, the concern I've got is we've got players on loan and we've got a lot of defensive aspects on loan, particularly. But we've also got our own players sitting there that we've paid money for, young players like Nsiala, that, yeah, okay, he's been raw and he's made a couple of mistakes in certain games, but he's our player. And surely playing in games like that last night are going to give him better experience and make him a better player. And for me, Fernandes has come in the last couple of games and done really well. He's been solid, he's been strong in the air, he's been strong in the tackle, all of which Deja has not done at all. And last night he just sold the jerseys for me. It was unconceivable. So it was just to see what the guys thought and what the panel thought in relation to why that's the case.
Well, you've got one up on Hugh Keevans already, Ross McCormack, if you are in his chair, because this is something that you did call. I remember the 31st of August, I'm sure, you did the Old Firm game, I'm sure, on this show. I think it was that day, certainly. You said you had massive concerns. And actually, at the time, some people kind of disagreed with you or thought you had maybe gone a bit early. But it's safe to say Giga's getting a fair bit of stick now, isn't he?
Yeah, to be honest, I think I might have even went earlier than that again. I seen someone who's really nervous on the ball, like, just the way he was bringing it out, and he was going to pass and he was stopping halfway through his pass and not playing it and stuff. Any ball in behind him, just it looked as if he wasn't capable of turning and running back towards his own goal. And I'm thinking, well, in Scotland you're going to have to do that quite a lot. I just didn't see anything at all. I think it also doesn't help for me. Fernandes also hasn't been great this season as well. Yes, he's done okay in the last couple of games, I get that, but having the two of them together, it's not ideal for me at the minute.
Well, it's a bit forced. Like Justin's saying, persevering with Giga, and I know he's offered Nsiala as a solution, but it is at a time when there's no John Souter, there's no Derek Cornelius. Not saying they were pulling up any trees either, but it's forced up to a point, Scott.
Yeah.
However, is there a two-sided issue here where, sort of right now, if you're trying to win games, trying to have good performances, his performance would be a concern, but then also that bigger bit, he's on loan till the end of the season. By all accounts, it cost a sizeable loan fee to get him. There's a hefty wage being paid there. All that stuff comes into.
I think you've got to look at all factors, but first and foremost, you've got to look at performance on the pitch. I think the game against Celtic at Hampden, for me, Ross was talking about how nervous he looked on the ball. That day, you couldn't not see him coming back out at half time. I expect him fully to be substituted at half time that day. That was the kind of panic he spread to his fellow teammates that day. He came out second half and actually defended a bit better. But for me, he would have come off. Last night, Rangers just should not concede a goal from the shape that they're in. They look in safe hands in terms of defending it. Long throw comes in. Yes, I understand it was windy, but you've got to do better than that. So I can understand.
I was just going to say, you can't give them that.
Come on.
But that's the setup that
hard,
they have.
It's hard when it's windy.
They had enough bodies. The setup should be enough for Rangers to see out the danger, and it just comes to that lack of judgment with the ball in the air, and Rangers concede. So for me, he just doesn't look at the level that Rangers need right now.
Where are you overall on this, Justin? Thursday nights used to be a welcome break from domestic struggles. They used to be something special at Ibrox. That's clearly gone. How much of it's Danny Rule's fault? Because he's just in, he's got this group of players that, you know, you're all saying aren't good enough. So then how much blame can a manager take? But then I do see other people saying he could still pick different players or make different substitutions. So how are you feeling overall?
I'm relatively optimistic, not for the Europa League. If we can get anything out the last games, it would be a bonus. But obviously, the vast majority of Rangers fans are just wanting to compete in the games that's left in Europe. But I think every Rangers fan that you speak to was more interested in the league. I think what has kind of stood out, I don't think the league's done. It's going to be a big ask. But the way, you know, Hearts are kind of maybe wobbling a wee bit, Celtic are only firing on all cylinders, I think the majority of the top five teams will drop points to each other across the end of the rest of the season. So I think I don't think there's any chance the league's done, and I think if we can put a run together, you know, I think competing is the big thing for Rangers. But I wouldn't blame certainly any of this on Danny Rowe. I think he's working with a limited list to draw from. What I would just like to see is more of our players getting played, with the exception of maybe Mikey Moore when he comes back for injury, who's shown signs of progressing. I know the guys have kind of mentioned that a couple of times, but I'd like to see the likes of Finlay Curtis and Salah getting a chance to play, Lyle Cameron getting a chance to play, because these are our players that should be getting experience, that need to be adding value to us as well as the players we've got. One other wee very quick thing, just on players. I know Chermiti has been getting criticised a lot in relation to his goal scoring. I thought he put in a shift last night. As much as he's, again, missed a couple of opportunities, I think he ran his heart out, and I think the boy's trying. I'm just a little concerned with him that we're going to end up in a SIBO situation with him, where he's trying too hard. Is two former front players sitting in your panel tonight, is that something that you guys see? Do you see the energy that he's putting in, or is it just not there for you?
I can totally see that he's putting a shift in, he is, but for me, that's the minimum requirement to play for a club like Rangers, as you work hard.
To play for any club,
simple matter of fact is he just really isn't good enough. Whether that's at this moment in time or he's just simply not good enough, I'm not sure, because I see certain attributes. He's an absolute man mountain. He is very, very quick. So I see certain attributes that can be worked on, but you can't just keep giving someone time because he's got certain attributes.
It's really hard in that environment, I think, especially the way it's been at Rangers this year, to come in and really, really go and play confidently. You think after the goal, I think it was against Kilmarnock, the one that the goalkeeper should save. You think, can he kick on after that? I think it was away to Hibs, where he worked tirelessly that night. The goals aren't coming, he is getting chances, he isn't taking them, he doesn't look ruthless in the box, hold up play. Listen, still a lot to be worked on, but at this moment in time, Rangers need players for now who are going to score goals. And I think going back to the point of guys coming in like Nciala, Finlay Curtis,
Lyle Cameron,
yeah, it's difficult for Danny Rowe when he comes into that situation, and Rangers weren't winning games, so you come in, I need the players who I think are going to win these games. He's done that domestically. He got a draw last night, which was better than you maybe expected, because Rangers had been poor in Europe previously. So I don't think it's as easy just because they're your players that you need to play them. His job was to come in and try and change that team who weren't winning games into winning games. They've now done that domestically. So if they can obviously put a run together, you'd maybe see them getting drip-feeded back into the side. But for now, he needs to pick the team who he thinks is going to win games week to week.
Thank you, Justin. What about John in Ardrossan? What have you got for us, John?
Hello, yeah, I'd just like to make a point about, in the build-up to the Braga goal last night, the ball went out of play for a corner, and Bragg have restarted with throw-in, chipped the ball and scored from it. I'm just wondering why that wasn't picked up in VAR. Or do they know?
No, that's not something VAR gets involved in. I think the thought is it's already disruptive enough and it gets involved in enough stuff without corners and goal kicks and throw-ins and that sort of stuff. However, I think there was a sort of idea that they might start considering that if a corner, you know, is, leads to a goal and it was like wrongly awarded, they would. But everybody's already fed up enough, aren't they, of the disruption? Yeah. So it's like, where do you draw the line? I actually don't specifically remember that, but John will have watched it closer than me.
Yeah, it was a good yard out for a corner. Butland's tried to keep it in with his left foot, but it's a yard over a line. It is a corner. But I've had this controversy before. Remember last season at was it Easter Road when
Maeda?
The ball? Yeah,
yeah.
And then
they're never going to give you a definitive answer, because
and even that was a goal, so therefore they had to assess whether it was out or not. Once we start pouring over, you know, we'd have preferred it to be, some teams would prefer it to be a corner, prefer it to be a throw-in. It's a difficult one, John, but not yet. Maybe one day VAR will take those things on board, but it doesn't at the moment. What did you make of it overall?
What did I make of it? Pretty average. There's a good chance there to go and get the 3 points, especially when Braga went down to 10 men. But they just seemed to fall away after that. They didn't take advantage, really, of the extra man. Mm-hmm.
Is that the worry? Is that the worry that, you know, it was nowhere near Rangers' worst performance. In fact, it would be their best European performance this season because the bar has been low. I accept that. But then once it goes to 10, I don't know if it got worse, did it? Is that too far? It didn't get any better.
It didn't get any better, and they didn't really make use of that extra man. I think that would be the worry. But I think the way that Danny Rose set his Rangers team up is not to be vulnerable, especially in Europe. They were giving balls away and getting caught in counter-attacks time and time again. They do look a lot more solid than they had done previously, but when your 1-0 up team goes down to 10 men, you fully expect Rangers to have players who can go and play the threaded passes. Without Mikey Moore, I don't think they've still not got that player in their side who can show the wee flashes, definitely from a central area anyway. And that's you couple that in the fact that Tramite and Danilo didn't particularly have good games last night, then it's not going to go and lead to goal scoring opportunities. So for me, final third is a problem for Rangers.
I think it was average. I think the word John used something along those lines, Ross. I mean, and it's a point. They're not bottom anymore, but that'll be it. Done arithmetically, maybe not completely 100%, but you know, it's a long road back. What do you sort of do now? I mean, in Europe, there was a guy, I think I remember one of the first callers last night, saying he did still care about it because he just thought being bottom was an embarrassment and just wanted, even if you can't go through, just don't be bottom. What? Where does this leave Danny Rowe and Rangers?
Well, I think, first of all, I think whoever the caller was that said it's an embarrassment is spot on. Rangers should not be bottom of the Europa League. But in terms of what they do now in European football, it might be a chance just to give certain players who haven't had that sort of experience a little bit of a taste of it, because I don't see them qualifying now. But I think Danny Rowe's in a bit of a... It's a rock and a hard place. He's clearly went into Rangers and realised the shortcomings in terms of they were so leaky, so easy to play against, so many chances being conceded. So he's made a conscious effort to try and show them up a bit. And that's fine just now, but sooner or later you're going to have to see signs of them actually being able to create. They look as if they can't create nothing right now.
Which is what Ludogorets left. What was the other one? Porto away is the final one. There's a third one that I can't forget. Ferencvaros. You need to win all three probably to have a chance. So it seems that's entirely possible.
We'll
file it under possible but unlikely. I don't think we've upset anyone with that. Thank you to John on the line. What about you Celtic fans then last night? Oh, as he does best, Hugh Keevans. He wrote you off spectacularly on Wednesday night. And what did you enjoy more, getting vital Europa League points on the board or proving him wrong? Give us a call. We'll look back on that game in Rotterdam when we return.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
Number one. fan for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Ross McCormick is playing the Hugh Keevan role tonight, apparently. That's he's sitting in his seat, so he can take on the mantle alongside Scott Allen on 0141 951 1025. Let's bring in Scott, who's a Celtic fan. How impressed were you with that last night, Scott?
How you doing, Gordon? All right, guys. Fantastic, mate. You know, every single one of them played absolutely superb. You know, the players that came in, you know, like Luke McGowan and everything else. But I just want a big shout for Donovan. I thought Donovan was absolutely fantastic last night. You know, for a young boy coming in at that kind of, you know, lack of experience. I know he's played a good few games, but European games, I think he was absolutely fantastic. I thought when it went down to 1-0, oh, here we go again. You know, then it went to 1-1. Schmeichel pulled off that, saved his foot. Then it just, second half, we just, you know, kind of went through the gears. I think everyone to a man was absolutely fantastic last night. Every one of them.
What did you make of it?
Yeah, I felt it was a real collective performance from Celtic. I think the fact that they go a goal down and then show that character came back in the game. I thought two of the goals were outstanding goals, really well worked. Luke McCown with the pass, the run from Hatate for the first one, then the quality to see Yang at the back post picking out, good finish. So for me, there was lots to like. Kobe Donovan, again, I thought he was excellent, aggressive. I think he looks like a boy who really wants to try and get into that Celtic first team, and I know that's easily said, but sometimes people go in, they just play safe. He was really aggressive, done all the basics really well, and I think that's what you would want to expect from a young player coming in, so he can help hold his head high. Callum McGregor again, second half for me, total control. Celtic in the middle of the park, I thought they controlled the game really well, and that's the sort of performance that then brings confidence back. I think scoring that late goal on Saturday, I think that definitely helps that, because it brings together the squad, especially winning in that sort of fashion. So for me, lots to like about that performance last night.
What impressed you most, Ross?
Well, the guys have singled out Donovan. Yep, I agree with that. I thought Yang first half was excellent, but one guy who I've been quick to probably criticise over my time in this studio, Ingles
is good.
Point, yeah. I thought he was good. Yeah, just showing a lot of energy, a little bit more aggression. Yeah, he impressed me. He has got quality, but sometimes you just want to give him a shake and get him going little bit more. Yeah, I thought he was good last night.
Scott, was it a pleasant surprise? Because I think it's safe to say, you know, there wasn't loads of optimism. Michelin was the previous away game. You know, there's loads going on. The squad is, for a number of reasons, whether it's recruitment, there's then injuries on top of that. You know, I just don't think there was massive optimism before the game. So was it a surprise in any way?
Well, Gordon, I said to my dad yesterday morning, I've got a feeling we're going to get walloped here. You know, I was going to say another word, but walloped here. And my dad says, no, a draw will be good for his son, you know, but was it a surprise? Yes. I'm not going to sit here and lie. It was a surprise how they played as well, you know, because we haven't been playing great over the past couple of months. And I think with Martin O'Neill coming in, he's definitely steadied the ship with Sean Maloney. And he's definitely put belief in a lot of players who probably didn't have belief there. No getting games like Trusty, like Donovan, you know, no getting games and things like that. But he's put that belief in them and they're playing. So, you know, there's three games to go. We're only needing 4 points. I think it's very, I think we can get there. But to answer your question, yes, it was kind of surprising, to be honest.
No, Scott makes a good point. It's not like just some one-off 19. That's a proper result that puts you back in the mix. I'm going to try my best to not ridicule him too much when he's not here between now and eight, but a lot of Hugh's theme on Wednesday was give up in Europe. But Celtic only 7 points.
No.
You know, so, and as Scott's shown the arithmetic there, easily progress. It's not going to be easy. But what I mean is they don't need miracles. They just need to get that over the line. And so it was a significant result in terms of what the context of the competition.
The context of the competition and the growth within the squad, who've been through some difficult periods this season. I think Scott made a great point about Martin O'Neill using the squad. He's gave opportunity to most of the squad to come in big games as well. So that creates a much better harmony. There was, you look at Osmond comes in in the cup final. Kenny's come in, scored goals. Luke McKeown comes in last night.
What does that say that as well?
It's really into
that. If we're talking about this being one of Celtic's better performances this season, and it was with the front three of McKeown, Maeda and Yang.
See, just on another note, see if Celtic are going to be looking for a right winger in January. I would look no further than Fino's right winger. It was a 10-15 minute spell in the second half last night. I couldn't believe what I was watching. He turned into prime, I don't know, name. It was unbelievable for 10-15 minutes.
But I mean, like, as an example, if you go, because I think when I saw the team, I did wonder, I thought they can't possibly have been listening to Hugh Keevans, but I thought, are they resting certain players
for the Hibs game
to prioritise Hibs?
No.
And then they put that level of performance in that front three, because you mentioned the first goal and the third goal. What about the middle one? There's no many players in going about that make that happen the way Tyson Maeda does.
Yeah. Listen, he obviously presses really well, and it's a can finish from Hitati. Hitati was another one for me who's probably his best game this season. I thought second half against St Mirren as well, he played three passes that were of real high quality through to Tyson Maeda. He didn't quite take the chance, but the passes were there, the invention was there. So Celtic, after last night, looked in a really good place.
Yeah, I totally agree with that with Hatate. I've said it for a while. I think sometimes we're very quick to put them sort of, and Scott, you were that type of player yourself as well. You play best when you've got a manager who's going to allow you that freedom to make three or four or five of them passes that might not come off, because the one that does come off creates a goal.
Yeah,
Scott, has any of this left you pining for more Martin O'Neill, or are you ready to say your goodbyes at the weekend?
Listen, you know, the thing is, Martin O'Neill, he's very clever, right, Gordon? And what he says is what he does. And, he came in and said he's not wanting the manager's job permanently to the end of the season. That's fine. We think a lot of Celtic fans, or maybe Celtic fans, accepted that. I do wish that he has stayed at Celtic for some capacity. I kind of read somewhere he was going to take Lowell's job. Maybe that's... I read that the day somewhere. I don't know where I read it, but if that is the case, excellent. You know, but I think at some capacity, because Sean Maloney's always going to be there anyway, right? He's just going to move back up the stairs, and I think Martin should be there at some sort of, you know, even if this new manager comes in, the Wilfred Nancy, even if it's just to be there to, you know, for a couple of months, 3 or 4 months. You know, just to fall back on, ask advice or whatever, you know, that's great. But I think at some capacity, I think he still should be there, to be honest with you.
I don't know if he's going to be the chairman, I have to say. I don't know. I know Martin O'Neill's very popular, and I know sometimes Peter Lowell gets some stick on this show. I don't know if I can envisage sitting in the chairman's seat. But anyway, thank you to Scott. What about you, Andy? Where are you landing on Martin O'Neill's time in charge now?
Good evening, Gordon. Evening, gentlemen. Just to say, Gordon, that's the first time I've seen the two boys together since they were clearly drunk and bad when they were doing the combined Celtic Rangers select.
Well, one of them was. One of them's still living at
the... Can I just say none of us were drinking?
None of us were drinking.
Roscoe, are you telling me you were sober when you said Michael
Right, so can I? Right, Dan, really need to clarify this again, because everyone seems to be getting it right. If you go back and have a look at what I said...
Keep digging.
Yeah, if he didn't get injured.
I'm only waiting you up.
No, I'm only joking anyway. On you go.
What are you thinking then, Andy, about last night and Martin and Neil and all the rest of it?
Interesting what Scott said there, right, the boy in the call. But this isn't a nostalgia, Gordon, I promise you, right? This is just the way I see football, right? Wilfred Nancy's coming in, he plays a different style than Celtic play at the moment. Any clips I've seen, and it's only clips that people have seen, the highlights of the clips you see are his teams breaking the press, so therefore a lot of times in the league he's playing in, his teams are being pressed high up the pitch and they're playing out here, and it looks decent, right? And I'm pretty sure he's a very, very good coach. The thing that worries me a wee bit, right, you're bringing in a new coach at a time that this next 10 weeks is the most critical time of the season for Celtic or any other team in the league. And there's a number of things that can happen over the next 10 weeks. I mean, Hearts could go further ahead. Rangers now are 5 points behind. Any sort of stall in Celtic's momentum could open up the league for Jack when the January transfer window comes in. I don't know. I know that the guy was saying there about Martin O'Neill staying in some capacity. I don't know if it's possible. I would like to see him staying in the dugout. The Wilfred Nancy being allowed to come in and work in the training park and stuff like that. I don't know if it's ever been done in football, but that doesn't mean it can't happen. Because if Nancy comes in, he may well become the best coach ever. But there might be a transition in his style and previous styles. And the interesting thing for me, what you said there about Hatate and Yang, Hatate and Yang may not have shined under Brendan Rodgers because he played that whole part of the football thing. They didn't get their own licence to play the way they did. You can see the difference in both of them last night with that wee bit of licence and that wee bit of support to be able to go and do that. So if Nonsi comes in and they need to change the system so much, is that a massive gamble that in the next 10 weeks it could kill their season?
How does this... Because this is the thing when you've got someone who's so legendary and popular as Martin O'Neill. But can that stuff work? Wilfred Nonsi, you're saying you are our guy. We have scoured the globe for our next manager and you're our guy. I'm assuming he gets a 3-4, maybe, you know, 5, well, a long contract. You are our man. But by the way, we're going to have you babysat for a wee while. I don't know if that sends out the right message, does it?
I don't think it does for me. I think most likely you would see, if someone was sustaining the coaching staff, it would be Sean Maloney, who's obviously worked in that role previously. Under Roberto Martinez. So for me, I would be surprised. I don't think you can argue with Andy how important the next 10 weeks are. I think looking at the teams round about you, I think you'll find out a lot about Hearts tomorrow, obviously off the back of the Aberdeen game. Tough trip to Fir Park, especially after the how they performed on Tuesday night. So it'll be a real intriguing game to see how Hearts respond from Aberdeen. So yes, I do understand that the next 10 weeks are very important, but I think Martin O'Neill and the squad have built up enough confidence to go and see, get through to January, and then reinforcements will come in.
It's a difficult one, Ross, clearly, because if you bring Martin O'Neill in on an interim basis, you're hoping that he's going to win every game, obviously, or win as many as possible. You don't want him to start losing games just so that the transition to the next guy becomes easier. But what does happen is you come in, you are successful, and then Andy and various others go, oh, are we doing the right thing? Or is the timing right? So if Martin O'Neill had lost his last four games, it would be easy. You say, thank you very much, and you move on. That's not what you wanted. You wanted the guy to come in and steady the ship, fully backing the decision to then replace him when the time was right.
Yeah, and from day dot since Martin's came back, he's been very transparent that he doesn't want a job, he doesn't want to be there for a long period of time. And I think also knowing a few people who have sort of worked under Martin O'Neill and seen how he operates and stuff as well, he's not massive on the grass himself in terms of coaching and stuff. So if you were to keep him on the coaching staff, I mean, what is he, if Nancy's going to be the manager and he's going to be taking the training and stuff, he'd be on the coach.
But is it harder though? Not much. Is it harder to let him go? And you know, you can hear the sort of the love that Andy and others have, because it is going well, you know, ultimately.
Well, he's come in at a different, difficult period in time, and he's steadied the ship, and he's an absolute hero at the club. The fans worship him. So naturally, you know, a large percentage of the fan base probably don't want to see him go 100%, and that's why people are saying move upstairs and do things like that. I think that would be realistically a lot more possible than keeping him as part of the coaching staff.
I think at the same time for Celtic fans and the club as a whole, they got to have someone new in who can now plan for the next 2 or 3 years. That's the main thing. I think Martin O'Neill, yes, he's been his interim manager and it was a quick fix. He's absolutely done that. He's been the glue through a real difficult time. But Celtic as a club, they have to look to what's next and what's it going to look like over the next 2 years. That starts with recruitment in January.
Thank you, Andy. Let me tell you about this before we move on.
Cash for Kids Mission Christmas on Clyde One with J&D Pierce, Scotland's premier structural steel specialists. Proud to support the local community.
Right, we need your help here, because right now across the west of Scotland, 1 in 4 children are living in poverty, and at this time of the year it just hits even harder, because families who are already stressing generally about food and heating and all the rest of it now have the added burden of trying to make Christmas just that little bit special for young children out there. So if you could make a donation, help the families with the basics they need, we'd love to have your support. It would mean the world. To hear exactly where your money goes, here's Samantha from the charity Giza Break. They provide practical and emotional support to children, young people, families and so on. And she's telling us just how much Mission Christmas donations help.
In the past, we've had groups to support cost of living, you know, making sure families have got a warm place, providing warm food, you know, a place that's reducing isolation and where families can come, but it's not got that stigma. No judgment, people are just free to come in and have that warm environment, the children entertained and access to some of the team for further support if they require it.
Come on now, every child deserves a Christmas. I think we can agree on that, and you can help us make it a reality. Donate now at clyde1.com/mission. If you're planning to fundraise, let us know what you're up to. Secret Santa gifts or Christmas jumper days, Santa Dash, whatever it is, let us know. We'd be more than happy to give you a mention. And we guarantee every penny, 100% of the funds raised go straight back to the families that need your help the most. So head to Clyde1.com/mission. And thanks as always to J&D Pierce, who've been supporting Cash for Kids for the last 6 years.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Ross McCormick and Scott Allen are here. Let's hear a bit from Martin O'Neill after that impressive win for Celtic last night. These were his general thoughts on the job going forward.
Played really well, really, really well. I mean, there was a period in the game, fairly lengthy period, where we were totally dominant, you know, controlling the ball, and exuded a lot of confidence, which was a lovely thing to see. Obviously, going the goal behind as well too, we could have crumbled. I thought they have shown up in the usual old words, character, resilience, and that thing. But then, when we got the equaliser, you know, confidence just flooded into the side, and they played wonderfully well. Well, I said this to them before the game. You know, you will get a chance to play tonight. You will get a chance because, you know, they're a very fine side, Feyenoord. They're just they're through a dip at this moment, but they get players who can play. But they will also give you a chance to play. And we took that chance. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I'm obviously thrilled for the team. There's a bit of selfishness attached to it all as well, too. But, that was lovely to win. And, just to win away from home, but to win in Feyenoord is just terrific. Hard to say, really, what I thought. You know, I think I told you, my two daughters were all on for going for it, and then my wife said that you'll probably mess it up. So yeah, well, I was trying to phone her there now to find out. I haven't messed it up so far, but there's it's been great. The results are everything. You know, that's what you live by, and the results have been terrific.
So will it be a farewell at Easter Road on Sunday? Certainly heading that way, according to Martin O'Neill, more than anything. But let's bring in Michael, who is a Celtic fan in Nashville, of all places. How are you, Michael?
Some place.
I'm doing well, Gordon. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. Good. What made you call tonight?
Two things, really. First, I watched the Celtic game yesterday, and I was real happy. I didn't think it was the greatest game ever, but very happy they won, and very happy I felt like they played the whole game. I really think they stuck with it, and that's why they managed to pull the win out. But I really wanted to call and talk about the sort of imminent appointment of Mr. Wilfred Nancy to be manager.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm about 200-300 miles south of Columbus, Ohio, where he's coming over from. It seems like he'll be coming over from. And I remember his appointment. And, you know, I remember the first time he came to Nashville. It was shocking, really. I wasn't prepared for it. It was a brand of attacking football I was sort of surprised to see, really, from a place like Columbus who doesn't really spend a lot of money, who doesn't have maybe the most high-profile players. I mean, his first full season with Columbus, I believe, was the same time that Lionel Messi came over, and it was a story that flew under the radar. And I think when Wilfred comes, I think he's gonna turn Celtic and make him, you know, into a brand of. I think it's gonna be much more attacking. I think they're gonna do much better on the finishing. I think he's going to turn players who haven't, you know, shown the brightest yet. I think we're going to see a lot better from Ingles and I think I'm hoping he can turn Dyson into what he was last season. You know,
I think you're well placed to answer this question, Michael, because you clearly understand the landscape here and the expectation and the pressure and maybe the unique tactical challenges as well that face teams, and you're trying to break down low blocks and so on. But you've also got a bit of an insight into Wilfred Nancy. As much as you were impressed with his style over there, are you confident it all translates to here?
Yes, I think he will. I think Nancy is, you know, he's worked with people like Thierry Henry And I think he understands pressure, and I think he understands expectations. And I think when he was originally appointed at Montreal before Columbus, that was a big surprise, you know, and he did the same thing there. He made them punch above their weight. And I think he's perfectly capable of winning the, you know, the Scottish League. But I also think he's capable of surprising us in Europe. I think he is going to come in and replace Martin O'Neill and do absolutely perfect.
Good. It's a ringing endorsement from Michael in Nashville.
And it was the same conversation I had with Johnny Russell, who obviously is at Real Salt Lake now, played at Sporting Kansas, been over in the States for 9-10 years. And when I asked him, he said the same sort of thing. He said teams were horrible to play against, and that was in an attacking sense. He says they just exploited space constantly. He says, and the next question asked is what you asked there, what does that look like in Scotland against a team in the low block? And he says they just make an extra pass, but the passing's nice and crisp. When someone can out their slot, they try to exploit it. He said it would be very similar to what Ange done in his first season, and he felt really confident. The one thing he did say would be really interested to see how it would look in Europe.
See, two words there that Michael said that I sort of caught there. Pressure, expectation. See, regardless wherever he's been in America, it doesn't matter where he's been, whatever he's done, he will not have experienced this type of pressure and this type of expectation when he walks through the doors at Celtic Park. But for me, what he was saying there, that is, it's music to my ears. You want to see managers like that come to the country, don't you, who want to try and dominate games and play football in a certain way. It's going to be interesting for sure.
Michael, is it bittersweet in any way? Are you sort of tempted to want to hang on to Martin O'Neill and see him hang around a bit longer, given what he's done recently?
It was Thanksgiving here in America yesterday, so I had the day off from work, and I was really able to watch a full game of Martin O'Neill. And I was too young when he was first around, but it was amazing yesterday, and I think it was really fun. It was fun to watch. It was fun to see the emotion of not only Martin O'Neill, but of the fans. And I think he will be missed, but, you know, obviously he's up there in age, and I think it is time to, you know, look and see who's next. And obviously, Wilfred, he's quite a bit younger, and I think, I think he could be at Celtic for a very long time, but honestly, I think once he gets to Europe, he's really going to impress, and somebody else is going to want him.
Thank you very much to Michael in Nashville. A nice positive note to end the first hour on. I can't promise it will be as positive when we play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Always like ending the week with Beat the Pundit. Just you get to take the bragging rights into the weekend. I know you've got maybe get the Euromillions on tonight, but you're really hoping that Beat the Pundit is the one that you win, and you get to choose between the signed ball or the coin. It really is all there. What an incentive we've got. So 01419511025. The lines close at 7.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scott Allen and Ross McCormick are here at 01419511025. Get in touch. We're looking back on last night, of course, asking you Celtic fans how good that performance and result was, how you rate your chances now of qualification from this stage of the Europa League, and ultimately, what does it all mean for Martin O'Neill? His final European game in charge, he says. Is this going to be his final game overall this Sunday? How are you feeling about that? And Rangers fans, what about you from last night? Not loads to write home about. It was a point, it was a better performance, but still clearly lots to frustrate you if the earlier calls are anything to go by. And of course, we can move on to the weekend. I am off to Motherwell against Hearts tomorrow. Thoroughly looking forward to it.
Lucky you.
I wonder if you share my enthusiasm for the fixture, because it looks like an interesting one. We can talk all of that and whatever else you want after we play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, Beat the Pundit time. Craig is in Dumbarton. How are you, Craig?
How are you?
Have you ever played before?
No, I've not.
Good. So it's either going to be Ross McCormick or Scott Allen. And I've just remembered, is it not your birthday today?
Yes, it's my birthday. Well,
happy birthday.
Oh, thank you. Birthday, mate.
How would you feel spending your birthday getting humiliated by Craig on Beat the Pundit?
It comes with the territory, doesn't it?
So you're not looking for a birthday exemption?
No.
How old are you?
34.
Okay. I'd be happy to take an exemption to watch him play
on his birthday. I don't make exemptions. I don't care if it's your birthday or whatever it is. The coin will decide, Craig. If it's the blue side, it will be Ross McCormick. If it is the red side, it will be Scott Allen. Let's see what we've got tonight on the coin. And it is as well. It's Mr. Birthday Boy, 34 today. Let's see if you can ruin it, Craig. I'm backing you. Don't care if it's his birthday. I'm backing you. Let's give Scott something else to listen to. You, Craig, have 30 seconds. And don't forget, added incentive for you this week, because every question you get right, we're going to add £10 to Cash for Kids, thanks to our friends at Cairnhill Structures, okay?
Good stuff, mate.
Good man. Right, 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. How many goals has Yang scored in all competitions this season?
Who
was the last Scottish player to score for Rangers?
Pass.
On what street did St Mirren play their home games before the Smyzer Stadium?
Love Street.
Name either team playing in the Scottish Cup third round tonight.
Queen's Park.
Which current Scotland international plays for Dinamo Zagreb?
McKenna.
In what decade did Hearts last finish second in the top flight?
2008.
Okay, let's bring back Scott Allen. Can you hear us?
Yes.
Good. You ready? Yep. 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. How many goals has Yang scored in all competitions this season?
One.
Who was the last Scottish player to score for Rangers?
Tavernier.
Oh. On what street did St Mirren play their home games before the Smyzer Stadium?
Love Street.
Name either team playing in the Scottish Cup third round tonight.
Glenlithgow and Queen's Park.
Which current Scotland international plays for Dinamo Zagreb?
McKenna.
In what decade did Hearts last finish second in the top flight?
The 2000s.
Name any Scottish Premiership team whose kit is made by Joma.
Hibs.
Okay. Craig, what do you think?
I think he's done his.
Good game.
I'll game it for his birthday, but...
Craig, if he wins after thinking James Tavernier is Scottish, you and I need to have some serious words. Let's go through it and find out. How many goals has Yang scored this season? It's two. Craig got it. A lucky guess, perhaps, but there we go. Partick Thistle and last night. So it's 2-1-0 to Craig. Who was the last Scottish player to score for Rangers? Craig's a Rangers fan and he didn't get it either.
John Sutter.
Finlay Curtis. I must admit, I remember him scoring, but you're right. I did that. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't know if Sutter or it. So
he's guessed Yang, hasn't he?
That's fine. You're allowed to do that. 1-0 to Craig still, and £10 into the pot for Cash for Kids, more importantly. St Mirren used to play at Love Street, which is fine. You both got it, so Craig stays one in front. Tonight, you had Linlithgow Rose or Queen's Park. Scott gave us both. Craig got it as well and stays one in front. Dinamo Zagreb defender Scott McKenna. You both got it. Really good game. Craig stays in front. In what decade did Hearts last finish second in the top flight? I'm going to... Craig said he gave me a specific year, but it was within the right decade. So even you're fair-minded. That's all right, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you looking at me like that?
If you're taking the James Tavernier being English.
No.
Whoa. Seriously.
English.
A decade, what did they give you?
Scottish.
I know, but...
Hold on a minute.
You done me out a question last week as well.
He said 2008, and that's within the right decade.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't mind that. Producer Chris, what are you saying?
Would that not be what year?
No.
But he's still... if he'd got it wrong, I wouldn't have given him it. Obviously. Okay. I can't believe.
Right, okay, let's go.
No, I know it was 2006, but I'm saying he was in the right decade. I asked for a decade. I think that's fair.
Not the year though.
Producer Chris is trying to take it off him. I think that's harsh.
Very harsh.
Because he could have just said to...
What year? Thousands. What decade? It's two different
questions.
Don't
forget he's taking £10 off.
That is £10 of cash for kids. You're going to do that?
I'll put the £10 in.
It's shameful, honestly. I think we've got to give him... He's in the right decade.
Is the producer saying no?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying no?
Ah, he's close.
I was just asking for a second opinion. Give it to Craig.
Name any Scottish Premiership team's kits made by Joma, Hibs or Livingston. There you go. Your level. I'm happy with that? Going to the tiebreaker. Cash for kids, get the money.
Yep.
Is that right? Is that four each?
Mm-hmm.
1, 2, 3. Is it? Yeah, well, I'm sure it is. 5 each. Is that a draw? No? Oh my goodness, I'm all over the place now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, 5. Good, we're level. I think we are. Good. Let's go to the tiebreaker. They've still got the last night's question, which I already read out about the stadium capacity for the World Cup final, so we can't use that. I've got a different question for you. I'll ask it, Craig. I'll get Scott to write his answer down. I'll then invite you to give me your attempt, okay?
No worries, cheers.
Right. How many days is it until the World Cup? Write it down, please, Scott Allen. How many days until the World Cup starts? Be quick, because I'm going to have to push Craig for his. Go on, quickly, write it down. Go on, Craig, what are you giving us?
190.
190, says Craig. 161, says Scott. One of you's only four out. It's 194, Craig, on the line has done it. Craig's his calendar out, quickly flicking through it, counting.
Happy birthday, Scott.
That's a good effort. I'm impressed with that.
It always helps when you get a bye for one of the questions.
Actually, I'm comfortable with that, you know. I'm comfortable because obviously, if he misunderstood it and he'd said,
That's fine.
And if he'd said 2011, then I wouldn't have given him it because it would be in the wrong decade. Craig, what do you make of your team last night?
Terrible. I know it's a work in progress now. I back Danny Rule, you know what I mean? I do. And we get rid of those two numpties, you know what I mean? So before January, which is a bit of a bonus. But no, we should have won the game, to be fair. But at least we've got a point aboard now.
Yeah, as you see, like that bar was set pretty low. Is that just is it just a reminder, Craig? And I don't think anyone wasn't aware of this, but you're just going to need to have still suffer a bit.
See, in all fairness, right, Europe, we've had a good few years in Europe for the last few years. You know what I mean? It's been brilliant getting all the way to final and stuff like that and getting pretty far in the competition. But I need to focus on this league, you know. The league's wide open. You know what I mean? They're no much better over the other side of the city, and Hearts are there for the taking. They're going to fall off it. It's a bit of league. Whoever has a better January is going to win the league.
Do you think that'll play out in the next couple of European fixtures then? If you're saying write it off, I mean, look, it's not good. This used to be, as we said, Thursday night Rangers, you know, and you want to write it off at the end of November. But if that is the case, do you think the league will start being prioritised and that'll be shown, you know, in the team selections and so on?
Depending on injuries and stuff like that, you know what I mean? Depends, because look at the team we had out last night. Like, there's the half our defence is gone, and then you've got defenders in there who cost them over 10 million and they can't even hit a ball. But
it was windy, but wasn't it?
It was very windy. You know what I mean? But no, I don't know. I'd write Europe off. We've had a good few seasons in Europe, you know what I mean? But we need to get back to the bread and butter, to be fair. Mm-hmm. And that's the league, you know, and it's wide open now. But just right, Europe half an hour. Again, we've got 1 point, and we've still got Porto and stuff like that to play. You know what I mean? That's going to be hard.
Well, results wise, the league is going well. I don't think there's any doubt about that. That's fairly obvious. Couldn't be doing much more results wise. Mm-hmm. Would there be how much of a need do you think, Scott? And then we'll put it back to Craig after for the performance levels within the league to rise, or do you think even that, just because can Rangers just keep plugging away, keep winning, and everything else comes later?
Yeah, but there comes a point where I think fans expect to see performance. I think that was maybe part of the issue last night, was it was there for the taking for Rangers to go and take the game to Braga, and you could see there's still a vulnerability at the back, and Danny Rowe has implemented a style where he's, that's where his foundations are, defending properly. That has led to Rangers winning games domestically. For me, I would agree with what Craig says. I think they've got to focus on the league. I think if they can put a good run together in that sense, then, and keep adding pressure to the teams round about you, then you never know what can happen come January if you do get the right recruitment in. At the same time, when you go away to Porto, it gives you an opportunity, give guys opportunity. Similar to what we were speaking about, I thought it was like comparing it, but with Martin O'Neill, guys have got opportunity and come in, and it's added to the squad. I think Rangers need that as well. So, for me, domestically is what is most important at this present moment.
Your good pal Andy Halliday was on earlier in the week, though, and he feels that maybe the performance levels aren't sustainable. He doesn't believe that if you keep performing exactly like that, that the wins will keep coming. You know, at some point, you might need to perform better to keep that winning run going.
Yeah, offensively, I think Rangers have to be more creative, but I think you've took Mikey Moore out of the team, and he was getting into a position in the park where he was being really creative. You've obviously seen the impact he had at Dundee. Take him out of the team, you're now looking like guys like Raskin, Diamande and Conor Barron to be your main technical player, especially in that final third. For me, I don't think they're of the same level. As for Asgard, I think we just haven't seen anything there that could get you really excited, especially if you're a Rangers fan. So Mikey Moore dropping out the team, obviously with the injury, has affected it. But till then, till you get him back, till you get recruitment in, it's all about winning.
See, this is Gordon. See, if you, I don't think Rangers are in a position to. It's all right saying write Europe off, but I don't. You talk about squad depth and the drop off in terms of quality from players that start and then players that might come in and get minutes. I don't think Rangers and Danny Rowe are in a position to make too many changes for these European games, because you think about it, if they go away to Porto and they make, say, 6, 7, 8 chances,
changes,
and they get beat a 4 or 5, even worse, who knows, then it looks bad on him, and all of a sudden there's real unnecessary pressure. Yeah,
that could happen with your strongest team as well.
People are always willing to write things off until they're not, aren't they? You know, and then, you know, until it backfires. But then at the same time, you know, as you mentioned, if the so-called strongest team isn't pulling up trees anyway, can you benefit long run from exposing Lyle Cameron to this environment, or Finlay Curtis, or whoever? Well, it's FaceTime video.
That's a fine, isn't it,
Matty? I hope it's someone important, honestly. No. Right, thank you very much to Craig, who wins on the tiebreaker and ruins Scott Allen's birthday. There we go. But we gave money to Cash for Kids, and that is the important thing. We'll do it again on Monday evening. Let's go back to the phones and bring in Hugh, who's on the line. Hi, Hugh.
Hi, good evening, Gordon, Scott and Ross. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
All good, how
you
doing?
Gordon, before, obviously, you know I'm going to talk about Murrow. I made a point earlier on in the season, but near the beginning of the season, and when Marvin was in the studio, laughed at me. Actually laughed. And I says Murrow had the best midfield in Scotland. And you'll remember it.
Mm-hmm.
And he laughed at me. Who's laughing now, Marvin? Now, Scott, I was listening to Scott on the way home the other night from the game, and you've made the point tonight. Scott says we're the most entertaining football team in Scotland by a country mile. Obviously, I want to talk about the game tomorrow. Hearts are the top of the league. Mull's probably the informed team at the minute of time. I honestly think it's going to be a cracker. Hearts are sold out, the way stand, and I think there's going to be over about 10,000 there tomorrow, which will be phenomenal, especially for Mull. But I just think, the other night against Hibs, I know they went down to 10 men, but we spoke to a couple of Hibs fans afterwards, and he says, we could have played with 12 men tonight, we wouldn't have got near you. 797 passes, 94% accuracy on the passes. No matter if you're playing against 11 or 10, that's phenomenal stats. Scott seen his other night. I think, Scott, you says it was the first time you've seen his live.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's bring him in on it. Let's bring him in on it, because, look, Hugh's going to wax lyrical about his team. I'm always conscious as well, it's easy for me to get a wee bit excited, and it's new and it's shiny, and I'm enjoying it as much as the next guy. But you, clearly, you know, no dog in the fight. If anything, you'd have leaned towards Hibs the other night. You've just gone there in a professional, neutral capacity. What did you make of it?
I genuinely thought they were outstanding. And that wasn't just in possession, that was out of possession. I think they took everything that Hibs have and everything Hibs can hurt you with. Well, that was Josh Mulligan running from midfield, the cadding crosses, Bowie and Boyle running the channels, took all of that away from Hibs. And that was out of possession. That's how they got control in the game, is actually taking the things that Hibs are really good at away from, and then...
So everyone's focused on the passing, but actually you
both,
think...
Both aspects of the game. Yeah, it's both aspects of the game. So to do that and take away... Hibs are a good side in this league. Hibs cause teams problems. Hibs are physical. Hibs have athleticism in their team, and they have quality, especially in the attacking areas. Mullerwell took all that away, and then you look at them on the ball and how entertaining it was and how brave it was. The amount of right decisions they made. Obviously, we spoke about the number of passes, and to get that number of passes in a domestic Scottish game, when the game can be quite up and down, you see it all the time. That is pure control of a high level. Anywhere in the world of football, that's with 94%.
I think you said
it was incredible.
You believe Motherwell are definitely the best footballing team, as in to watch or whatever in the league. I stand by that.
They don't have the best players, and in my opinion, I don't think they have the best players throughout the whole squad. But what?
Because
if
they had the best players and played the best way, they'd win the league. You know, that's kind of.
Yeah.
But you know, there'll be a limit. There'll be a ceiling. But you think they play the best football in the league for sure?
Yeah, for me, that's the most enjoyable game I've been at in Scotland in a long, long time. Purely just watching how our managers implemented that in a team like Motherwell, with players who have played at other clubs and played completely different football at other clubs. Again, Stephen Welsh was absolutely outstanding. Outstanding, I felt. Midfield, you speak about, made 5 changes as well. So what does that look like? That looks like a manager that's got a team playing under a structure, with belief, allowed them to make mistakes in early parts of the season. We talk about identity in football. That's building an identity. Fans seeing something from an early stage and buying into it and having trust in the manager, and then simply in the game of football for the players that you have at your disposal. So for me, it was a fantastic performance, and I think any Millwall fan, and I could sense in the stadium, there was times where they were standing up clapping passages of play. It was that good. I think they kept the ball off Hibs for 3 minutes at one point. So that game tomorrow is going to be incredible. You talk about the fan support from both sides going. Interesting to see how Derek McInnes now shapes up against that, and what James Bertolaschi does against them. So
it's quite telling, Hugh, isn't it? Because we always talk about this, you know, is it all about winning? Is it nice to play in a certain way? Motherwell are fourth at the moment. Motherwell have been fourth before. Over the last decade and a bit, Motherwell have some really impressive league finishes. But yet, tomorrow's the day, as you're saying, where that crowd is going to turn out an unbelievable number. So that should be all the proof you need that it can be a bit more than just results.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I totally agree with Scott. I mean, we made five changes on the night. Now, I looked at a team walking down to Firth Park and thinking, this is a big game tonight. He's made five changes. Priestman came in, and I thought, right, he's been 15 minutes here, 10 minutes there, and he started him. And I did say to my mate, I says, I hope he holds up. He's a young boy. He's not big. He's not sturdy. But Scott will tell you, he was brilliant the other night. It was all about the park. But again, I think the major contribution for us is what in the middle of the park. Everything goes through him. He's just so calm in the ball. He makes everything tick. That was us the other night without an out-and-out striker. So it's fantastic to watch. Considering I go to football to watch football. That's what I want to get. I want entertained. I want to see it. And I said this on the show before. Hibs came to Firth Park more than a few years ago and scalped us 6-2. And I stood up and applauded. And I was arguing with the Millwall fans. He says, why? He says, I pay to watch football. And that's football. It was Tony Mowbray and Scott Brown and Kevin Thompson all that over there. They destroyed us that night, 6-2. It could have been more. But watching us just now, it's just, as Scott says, I'm standing up applauding the other night. There was one, I think there was 37 passes or something, one of the guys says. And see if we scored the goal at the end of it.
Yeah, it was a slip pass, wasn't it? I think it was Charles Cook went through.
Yeah, it was goal of the season. You just think, you're taking nothing away from that. It was phenomenal to watch the other night. And coming away from that, see if we come away beat, Gordon. We're still happy because we're thinking, at least we're trying things. If we will make mistakes. Of course we will. We're not going to be absolutely 100% outstanding every single game. We will make mistakes. But the fans are still believing in the manager and what he's bringing in. Now, in that short space of time, he's changed attitudes and players who were there for a few years. The new players that's been brought in has been bought into everything. And you can tell with the crowds, the home fan crowds are going up.
Mm-hmm. It sounds quite telling as well, Ross, to look at it just through our lens, just a different way. Andy Halliday on the show played every single game last season. He was Motherwell's Players Player of the Year. He can't get a look in at all. And by the way, he absolutely loves it. Scott, any time you speak to him, even off the show, he loves it. He's so impressed with what they're doing.
Andy calls him a genius.
You know, it would be quite easy to sort of spit the dummy, take the huff, whatever, because you're not playing. But it's going to be interesting tomorrow.
It definitely is. Hugh, can I ask you a question?
Go for it.
Still there. You know, Gordon was talking there about limit and ceilings and stuff like that for Motherwell, this Motherwell squad. How high do you see that this season? Is fourth unbelievable, or can you be a touch higher?
Ross, you've got to believe in the team.
Of course you do. I've played in a Motherwell team that finished third in the SPL. Yeah. So it can be done.
As I spoke on here before, I've still got a picture of you in Northern Ireland. So.
Oh, was that you?
Don't let
me
know.
That was me. The thing about us this year, and I know we can look at previous results, like 3 up against Hearts, we drew 3 each. 2-1 up against Celtic, we could beat 3-2. 1-0 up against Kilmarnock, we make a mistake. Makes a mistake, and it's 1 each. You can all say ifs and buts of, we win that game, we'll win that game, we're top of the league. No, let's be happy where we are, and let's keep on continuing to improve, because I still think we've got improvements to come. Mm-hmm. I don't think we've finished where we are at the minute, because for the where we have came from to where we are now is massive. And a lot of the fans that sit around about me are just saying, we can't believe what we're watching.
Do you know what I think is good about tomorrow, Hugh, as well, is there's a statement to be made either way. If Motherwell go and beat the team that's top of the league, after all the praise they're getting for playing, then you really need to sit up and take notice and think, you know, this is the real deal, even if you haven't before. But on the other side of it, if Hearts can come, exactly, when everybody's saying, oh, has the bubble burst, have the wheels come off, all those cliches, if they then go there and counteract this Motherwell plan in a way that Hibs couldn't, then that's a big statement from them. So loads to look forward to. Thank you to Hugh on the line, and we'll take more of your calls when we return.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Ross McCormick and Scott Allen are here. Still plenty of time to get your calls in. We're going to do the pundit predictor as well, so that's always one to look forward to. I'll give you a full time teaser in a second. Actually, a lovely message in from John he sent me a message to say that he's been trying to get through and beat the pundit, and he can't, but he's been playing along at home all week. He get five tonight, so he wants to donate £50 to Cash for Kids, just like he would have done. But he's doing it off his own back. Lovely. So there we go. Well done to John. A lovely touch on Beat the Pundit there. And it's easier when you're at home, John. So it's like win-win, because you'll get more right when you're at home, and that means more money to Cash for Kids. So I like your thinking. Right, your full-time teaser tonight: can you name the last seven players to have worn the number one jersey for Rangers or Celtic and have at least one cap for Scotland? So legitimate number ones, and they have played for at least one cap for Scotland, sorry.
Andy Gorham.
He is. Well done.
David Marshall.
No. So I'm going to guess that he maybe didn't wear the number
22
one.
22, he wore, didn't he? Gordon Marshall.
Yes. Well done. That's not where I thought you would start, I must say, but never mind.
Where was I today, Gordon?
You've pulled this out of the bag. You is told it? Me you were in Annan, or yep, the Rough area, so mm-hmm, I know where you're going. One of our own.
Yep. Cammy Bell.
Cammy Bell, well done. He did get one Scotland cap, Craig and Gordon. He wore number one. Craig Gordon. Let's leave it there, because that's four down already. And only got three one to get. Leave it for now. Thank you to David and Mark Inch for sending this in to fulltime@clyde1.com. We would love to have as many of your teasers as possible and use them on the show. So give us your questions in there, please. Plenty to look forward to tomorrow, as we just alluded to there with Hugh, the Motherwell fan who's looking forward to the visit of Hearts. Meant to be a bumper crowd there as well. Even get the Scottish Cup tonight. Is this where the big boys will start to look on in the Cup? Because after this is where the Premiership teams come in. Linlithgow Rose, Queen's Park tonight. I quite like that. Lowland League against Championship. I was looking through the fixtures. You're always looking at what's like the biggest gap. Andy Halliday's always on about Benburb against Montrose. That would be, I think that's probably the biggest sort of gap in terms of steps
is
in
that,
the pyramid.
Is that at the Benz? Is it at the Benz?
It is, yeah, tomorrow. So there's a few interesting ones. Air Turf would be Highland League. Again, so there's a few interesting ones.
Yeah, Linlithgow have got a few good players. I know one of the wingers, Dylan Patterson, he was at Arbroath when I was there, good player. He could be exciting. It's on the TV tonight as well, isn't it?
Yes, they're having a good season in the Lowland League. So is this like the one that got away for you in East Kilbride? No, still in the joint.
That was when we played Spartans 2 weeks on the trot.
Not ideal for you. Donald is in East Kilbride. Hi, Donald.
Hello there, Gordon.
What are you thinking tonight, Donald?
Yeah, I'm strangely nervous tonight because Scott's on.
Oh? Well, Scott makes you nervous?
Well, I remember playing at Bonnie Home, Scott, for our school team. and playing a high ball in towards you and the wind caught it and you missed it completely.
Whose fault was it then, Donald? His?
I think he was frightened to mess up his haircut.
That's definitely sounds about right.
Nah, I had short hair when I was younger, and I absolutely controlled it.
Donald, hold on.
I think when you give a bit of, cut him a bit of slack, right? You know, really, I mean, if the ball comes over and 2 yards away from you, there's a gust of wind, you know. I don't think it's that bad that he actually misses the ball. He does the mistake that he actually makes last night. It's not that bad. It was just a freak happening.
Donald's all about the wind. He's taking it back to the 1990s with you.
I'm not having that one.
I don't know if Donald's trying to wind us up here.
No, but I think Danny Rould mentioned it.
Did he?
He mentioned it in his post. What do you mean? Hold on, right. I don't want to try too hard, right? Okay, because I get it was a mistake. But is there no chance that the wind can cause you to misjudge it?
Yeah, it can. It can, but
not from
the way they were set up.
No?
No. I think if you're having to track back and try and follow the ball, I think that's a bit different. But it's coming from that angle and you can see it. You can see it coming just be on your toes. It's the whole basics of defending. Expect the worst scenario, and I think we've seen it too many times this season with Giga for me.
Ross, you're never going to have it.
I'm not having it one bit. Not one bit. See, even if you watch it from like behind, behind where the ball's coming in, it's not even as if it really deviates offline or anything like that so much that it causes them to almost miss it. And by the way, see, if he missed it completely, that would have been a lot better, because Tav's there and he'll just clear it. He won't miss it.
Yeah. Donald, do you think Nasser Giga overall is getting a bad rap?
No, I don't rate him.
Well, fair enough.
Right, I think we should cut ties with him in January, really. You know, if we can, I don't know the contract situation is, you know. I think this is going to be a pivotal weekend for the league. You know, I can remind you that I put on £10 bet 2 weeks before Russell Martin got the bullet for Rangers to win the league. You know, you've got a Motherwell win at the weekend. You've got a Hibs win at the weekend, and you've got a Rangers win at the weekend, and that's a treble that I'm giving you.
Please gamble responsibly. So you think this weekend is where it all turns in Rangers' favour?
This is a pivotal weekend. I'm conscious that Falkirk are a good team.
Very, going really well.
You know, Falkirk have been really punched above their weight, you know, but I just really feel that this weekend, you know, is an excellent weekend for Rangers.
It's going to be an interesting fixture, that, because on paper, Hibs away was a good win in terms of like what, again, on paper, the difficulty of the fixture. That aside, Danny Rowe's probably had I'm not going to use the word easy, that definitely is not fair, but the fixtures could have been worse, I think, is what we'd say. If you've come into a job and you're going to try and get some momentum, there's been a couple of fixtures there that even when Rangers are out of form, you would fancy them to win. You know what I mean? I'm probably digging a hole here.
But they weren't at the start of the season. That was
exactly, yeah. And that's why it's still an improvement, and that's why it's still a step in the right direction. Falkirk are really in really good form now.
Did you see any of Falkirk United last week? Falkirk were excellent.
No,
it could have been. Could have been a lot.
Fascinated by that, because if we're all saying that Livingston, is that a stretch to say Livingston deserves something at Ibrox last week?
No.
I think their chances and, you know, one on one with Jack Butland, we've all heard about the non award of the penalty and so on. David Martindale saying it ruined his weekend.
Has Marv been on since that?
Twice.
Has he?
Just once. So, yeah, like I say, in theory, Falkirk come and should pose even more of a threat than Livy, who came so close. That's the point I'm trying to make. So I'm very interested in how that fixture goes tomorrow. Rangers, of course, will go in as favourites, but Falkirk might just fancy something.
I think it probably goes the other way, though, from the Livingston game, in terms of how Falkirk will come and try and play against Rangers. I think that could leave them probably a little bit open, leave Rangers a little bit more space. But as we've been speaking about all night, at the minute, it doesn't really matter how much space that the Rangers sort of attackers are getting. They just ain't really looking like they're going to create anything.
Because in amongst this Falkirk run that they're on, and it's a really good run, so it stretches all the way back to when Rangers went to Falkirk. Yep. You all remember Russell Martin's last stand. They're undefeated since then, apart from a game at Celtic Park where they were miles off it. And it, you know, it was that 4-0, not taking anything away from, that was Martin O'Neill's first game, but they really didn't compete that night. So I wonder how this one shapes up.
I think at the weekend at Dundee United, that was their best performance of the season for me. I think many Falkirk fans would say that in terms of a whole. Spoke to some Dundee United fans as well, and they said that Falkirk were excellent. So there's no getting away from John McGlynn's squad. They'll go there thinking that they watched Rangers over the last two games and feel that there's areas where they can go and hurt them. But at the same time, you have to carry that out on the pitch, and that's up to the players. But there wouldn't be a better time for Falkirk going in terms of the confidence that they have in the side at this moment in time.
Donald's all about the wind. Do you know what I'm thinking though, Donald? I might be barking up the wrong tree here. Forgive me if my memory's letting me down. You've just mentioned playing school football with Scott Allen. Are you the guy that phoned up before and claimed to be married to the girl that Andy Halliday fancied at school?
Yeah. Yes. No, I mean, Scott, you didn't play much for the school team because you were signed with the United at the time as a boy.
I can't believe we've got. I'm starstruck. We've got such a celebrity back. You've made Andy Halliday's life a misery, Donald.
All right, what have I done?
I just told you what you've done. He's been sleeping in the spare room for 6 weeks because you said that he used to fancy your wife, and now Mrs. Halliday's not happy with you.
Well, that's. I mean, it's all fair and love and war, isn't it?
is this the Cadorna Primary one?
This is Sharon Osborne.
Sharon Osborne, that's right, yeah.
Scott, do you remember this? You went to primary school with Andy.
I was in the same. We had a 7A and a 1A and a 1B. I was at A and Andy was a B. But when I can't remember a Sharon Osborne, I didn't even know her. Are you married, Donald?
I'm married to Sharon. But remember, Andy, Scott, we went to Rosshall Academy. Andy went to Bellahouston.
Andy went to Renfrew High. Oh, so you went to Rosshall.
Donald's a proper schoolmate of yours. He went primary school and high school.
Yeah, we went. Myself and Scott went to Cadorna Primary and then Rosshall Academy. And it's an academy for a reason, you know.
Do you know what it's also just reminded me of? Because the bit that got totally lost in Sharon Osborne gate is the fact that, and I've now remembered, you do not sound the same age as Scott Allen, Donald. I'm still not convinced or that Andy. You're not 60.
No, because I had a testicle. No, not a testicle. A tonsil removed.
Oh, my God. This show is just... Oh, what is going on?
Sensational.
Who thought we'd end up talking about Donald's testicles on the show? No me, that's for sure. Because see, when he said it, I'm thinking, what's that got to do with his voice? And then, let's just move on.
So that's his favourite subject at school?
Biology, I think, clearly. Oh. Donald, that was a delight and a surprise, as always. You just never quite know when it's... What's going on here? This is a madhouse. Oh. Last night, I lost the plot when our colleague Dave Galloway came on. I don't know if you caught this.
He cannot be the same age as me.
I know. How old does Donald sound?
He's a teacher.
He's the Janny. when Dave Galloway, our colleague, came on last night and he read the teams from Pittodrie, he read the Aberdeen team, and we thought, he's not going to bother with the Armenians, is he? Because even like Braga, you probably wouldn't bother. You pick out one or two. And then he started in there on Noah. Then he went for their Noah subs. But he couldn't pronounce half of them. And I couldn't stop laughing. It was very unprofessional. And then just when I thought I'd regained composure, he went to tell us what the Polish match officials were called, and now Donald's on talking about his testicles. Oh, come on.
They know quite a lot of things about Ross Aldo. You know the Bonnie home pitches, Ross, eh?
Listen, you carry on your trip down memory lane another time, because we have got very, very important business here to take care of. Let's do this.
The Pundit Predictor with McNair's Building Supplies. Try McNair's for your next building, roofing or gardening project.
I cannot stress how important this is getting. Every Friday on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, we play the Pundit Predictor. We pick three games. You tell us how those games are going to go. And we are at a sensational amount of money because nobody can get it right. Last week, Jack and Garthamlock, he came close, 2 out of 3. But what that means now is that it rolls over again and we're up to £1,500. Unbelievable. Just for three games. That is all we're asking you to do. Pick the outcome of Motherwell Hearts, Airdrie Hamilton and Kilmarnock Dundee United. 01419511025. Call right now. Over 18s only. We pick someone at random and the lines close at the end of this break. It's all thanks to McNair's Building Supplies.
The Pundit Predictor with McNair's Building Supplies. Delivered on time for over 40 years.
When we set about these things, the Pundit Predictor, as an example, you never quite know how it's going to go, but my goodness, this has become way more dramatic than I ever could have anticipated. If you're still trying to get through in the phones, we thank you so much for your interest, but you can hang up now. The lines are now closed. What you have to do now is sit back and hope that Jimmy in Paisley messes it up spectacularly and you can give it another go next week. How are you, Jimmy?
All good here. How are you?
Are you usually a good predictor, Jimmy, or are you just hoping that your luck is in this time?
I don't think anybody in the world's a good predictor. I think they're just lucky.
Listen, there is a bit of that. I watch Gordon DL every single Saturday in here. Genuinely, been on this show for, I don't know, 9 years with, and I think, not an exaggeration to say, every Saturday for 9 years, his wee acca doesn't
God
come up.
Gordon wins it every day of his life.
It's incredible. Right, we've teamed up with McNair's Building Supplies again for the Pundit Predictor, and the stakes could not be higher, Jimmy. Well, they could be if you lose next week, but let's not worry about that, because it's £1,500 up for grabs, and all we're asking you to do is pick the outcome of the following three games. I'll go through them one by one. You tell me home win, draw or away win. Let's start with Motherwell Hearts.
Oh, Lord.
Draw.
Okay. What about Airdrie Hamilton in the Cup?
Hamilton.
Away win. Okay, interesting. And Kilmarnock Dundee United.
Dundee United.
Okay, two away wins and a draw. That's interesting. What, just out of curiosity, what would you two go?
What do I pick?
Yeah, just for sporting fun.
Home win Motherwell.
Ooh.
Home win Airdrie.
Yep.
And I'm torn. I'm just going to sit Kelly in the last draw. Six. I know.
Well, anyway, that's the choice been made by Jimmy in Paisley. We find out, Jimmy, on Monday if you win the £1,500, and if not, it rolls over to next Friday and we add another £100. And it's all thanks to our friends at McNair's Building Supplies. All the best, Jimmy. Enjoy your weekend.
All the best, lads. Have a good one.
Thank you. There we go. Man, £1,500 for three games. That is it.
Difficult, though.
I know, it really is. See when you see them like that.
I know.
Because for the, I think the last few weeks, prior to last week, it was 1 out of 3, it was 0 out of 3. I think we eventually climbed up to 2 out of 3 last week. It's tough. It's an interesting selection of games as well. I suppose trying to get it, they're all Saturday games, aren't they? Yeah, because a lot of the fixtures take place on Sunday. We actually did it for the entire Euros last summer, and I think we only had two winners across the entire tournament. Just getting three games.
It's so hard in football now to pick your teams.
It really is. You alluded to it there, though. That's a huge fixture for Stuart Kettlewell in particular, isn't it? He lost six in the bounce.
Six in the bounce.
Fans starting to become a bit unhappy. Dundee United going there, not in a brilliant run either. It's a big game that tomorrow evening.
It is for both teams, but none more so, as you say. So for Stuart Kettlewell, they really have to get something tomorrow. For me, I think he would take a draw, but they have to start winning games. Six losses also on the bounce. Dundee United really disappointing last week against Falkirk, albeit Falkirk were fantastic, but I still feel Falkirk and Dundee United, sorry, have players at the top end of the park who can really hurt you.
Will Dundee United change their goalie?
That was going through my head there.
Big talking point. But that was the same question that was aimed towards Motherwell early in the season as well, and that shows you sometimes sticking by someone, but yeah, for different reasons. That's what I would say.
I know you weren't suggesting that it was exactly the same. I feel like the Dundee United goalkeepers' mistakes have been a bit more extreme, and certainly last, I mean, there were I remember discussions last week about, do you take him off in game?
The same thing happened with the Hibs goalkeeper, I remember, in one of the Euro ties. He threw in the two goals, and I think everybody thought he would not come back out at half time, and David Gray stuck by him, and then in the next leg he was outstanding.
By the way, second half he made a couple of hits. Jordan Smith, I was with him at Nottingham Forest, good kid.
What do you think, Dundee United, would they change the goalie? Because not only did he make mistakes, he kind of looked shot last week. I mean, you saw Scott Bain, the opposition goalkeeper, going up to him after the game and giving him a pep talk. There comes a point.
Maybe last weekend was enough for Jim Goodwin to make a change.
I think, see, when you talk about, like, for talking sake, the Motherwell goalkeeper, you probably half expect him to make some of the mistakes
he's
that he has done, because he's
way.
Been asked to play this way, and it's a little bit alien to him, so he can forgive a certain amount.
He dropped a couple, though, earlier in the season with his hands. I think that was more of a concern.
Must have missed them. But in terms of the Dundee United goalkeeper, I think especially the second one is that bad that it's hard to... Sometimes as a manager, you know, you have a connection with players and you might want to stick with them, but sometimes things happen where it just becomes a little bit impossible to. So I expect them to change a goalkeeper.
I think at the same time, the effect it has on players round about you, whether that's defending set pieces,
confidence,
and it puts that bit of nervousness in the rest of the players. So a big decision for Jim Goodwin to make tomorrow, and a huge game for Kettlewell.
Do you know, it also feels like a massive game. Dundee against St Mirren. St Mirren have no wins in the last six league games. They've lost five of them, which is a really bad record. But every single one of those, there's not been any real bad performances. No. You look how close they come to draw against Celtic last week up Pops Callum McGregor. In amongst it, they've got that very impressive cup semi-final win against Motherwell. So they don't feel...
The Hibs game as well, where they lost 3-0. It didn't really look like a 3-0.
They don't feel far off it. again, at the same time, that's not a run of results you associate with St Mirren under Stephen Robinson.
No, no way. They are seriously hard to play against, get results against. But just interestingly, on that Dundee United, the goalkeeper situation, you know Jim Goodwin plays in goals on a Friday night, doesn't he?
You don't think he's going to get the gloves on?
Might bring his gloves, yeah.
Match of fives. I'll do it.
Yeah.
Who was
you
that?
Get out, I'm doing
was
it.
Not Roy Keane? When he was at Sunderland, they like bet his players that he could save their shots or something.
40 yards, yeah.
It was something to do with Craig Gordon, actually.
And did he not say that he saved the shots, so he won a few hundred quid, but he lost the dressing room?
Yeah. Worth it. And then, although we're talking about St Mirren needing a result against the Dundee team who have lost 6 out of their last 7, but the other one was a brilliant win against Celtic. So go figure, but you know, they're clearly not in good form.
No, they're not. And listen, the fans aren't happy with what they're seeing. Whether that a lot of that is aimed at Prez, a lot of that's aimed at the board. But performances out with that Celtic game are on the day, they just physically second balls all the ugly side of the game. They done it really well and still had that threat when they went forward and took their chances, but they have to start winning games against teams round about them. And it'll be the same for St Mirren tomorrow.
Yeah, and it's not just the top flight, of course, tomorrow, as we said, the cup coming into play as well, which should be good fun. Right, we're nearly there on the teaser. The last 7 players who've worn the number 1 for Rangers or Celtic and have at least 1 Scotland cap: Craig Gordon, Cammy Bell, Gordon Marshall, Andy Gorham. 3 to get.
McGregor.
Yes, Alan McGregor.
Rab Douglas.
No, I think it was 20 or something. Well, I can't remember. It wasn't 1 for Celtic though.
Another Rangers goalkeeper?
Yes.
Oh, I can see his face. Did he play for Hearts as well?
Yes.
He's just spitting image of one of my best mates.
He played in the Zenit St. Petersburg game?
Yes.
Neil Alexander.
Alexander.
Yeah.
Okay. And the last one, former Celtic goalkeeper, wore number 1 at the sort of turn of the century time,
Stuart.
Maybe just before. You think it's Stuart Kerr?
Is it?
No. And has been capped by Scotland.
Jonathan Gould?
Yes, Jonathan Gould. Well done. Good team effort from Scott Allen and Hugh Keevan. No, sorry, Russ McCormick tonight on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. I am elsewhere tomorrow for Park. Looking forward to it. But the guys will be here. You'll be well looked after. Andrew McLean and the usual madness on a Saturday afternoon. So make sure you are here from 2 o'clock and enjoy the rest of your Friday. Ross McCormick will be starstruck. You all know that George Bowie's his absolute favourite. The GBX is up next.